of his children's mouth. And with faith in God and the power of the Holy Ghost, that thing has got to line up just like God said it would. Then he declares authoritatively, I am the good shepherd.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Standing, I began a series like 7 weeks ago entitled Focus on the Family. I've seen families begin to come together. I've received hundreds of emails of people who are just saying that the word is touching them. I began this series by talking about what the Bible says about divorce and remarriage. How really God hates divorce, and there are only a very few reasons why God would allow a divorce. And I taught you the biblical reasons for divorce. What do I mean? I mean, how does a Christian separate from their spouse? There are only a very few limited reasons. It's love or sex, or it's not what I thought, or she's tripping, or this just ain't what I wanted in life. I'm tired of this. Those are street reasons to get divorced. Not kingdom reasons. And so once you're married forever. You're stuck. Tell somebody, say, you're stuck, you're stuck, you're stuck, you're stuck. Amen. Good or bad, you're definitely stuck. Amen. And so if you are here and this is real, you're contemplating divorce, you're thinking about giving it up, pray about what God says about divorce. Get my CD or DVD on marriage and divorce before you make that decision. Because if you get divorced without a biblical reason, you cannot marry again. If you do, God won't honor it. So you got to think about all that before you make those choices. But then not only that, I talked about when a man loves a woman. What do I mean when a man loves a woman? Loving your wife. Most brothers don't know how to properly love their wife. I ain't talking about street love. I'm talking about agape, godly love. Loving not only your best wife, but your worst wife. And all of us have a best wife and a worst wife. She's great at times, but what about when she's at her worst? What about when it's that time? What about all kinds of stuff that keep them from being what they need to be? Can you love your worst wife? It doesn't say love the wife that cooks for you, love the wife that cleans up for you, love the wife that makes love to you, but it says love your wife. That's not easy. That's why you got to come on Wednesday and get the Holy Ghost. Shameless plug, shameless plug, shameless. Because in the flesh, you ain't gonna love no sister that ain't acting right. In the flesh, you're gonna raise up and say, somebody will treat me better. I'm gonna go back to my ex. There's a girl down the street waiting on me to break up with her. All kinds of stuff. But if you have the Holy Spirit, you can love your wife even when she's not what she ought to be. And then I talked about submission, the other S word, submitting to your husband. Not submitting to your saved Holy Ghost husband, submitting to your husband. Making love to him when you're angry with him, not holding back what is rightfully his. Cooking his food when he's acting stupid. Washing his clothes when he's not speaking your love language. Can you submit to a man that doesn't even deserve to be submitted to? Yes, you can, because the Bible says, women, be subject, wives, be subject to your husband. I'm teaching you how to get him saved. You don't get him saved by telling him what Pastor Vernon said. He don't care about Pastor Vernon. He care about his underwear being clean. Somebody say amen. Right? And I'll continue to say, do not trip on what he does not know about God because you didn't meet him at church. No, you met him down on the water. What's your name? Well, huh? What's your name? Oh, really? But now you want a church man. So you're ready to divorce him? No, you're going to love him and submit to him, and you'll get him saved and coming to this church because he'll say, I know I'm stupid, and she still submit to me. I know I'm stupid, and she still makes love to me. That's what's going to make him join this church, not you putting scriptures on the refrigerator. Playing my tape loud as you can in the living room. No, that ain't going to make him join this church. So submit to not your saved husband, not your man, women. I ain't thinking about your man. Your husband. Somebody say your husband. Amen. Praise the Lord. Forget all that man stuff. Then I talked about married with children. Married with children. Now that both of us are married, we have children. What does your daughter need from you, father? What does your son need from you, mother? I talked about married with children. Do you know how important you are to your daughter's life? Do you have any idea, man of God, that when you speak into her, that teaches her what to look for in a man? She needs more than you to buy her clothes, but to speak into her life. Are you there to do that? Young man, do you realize how much your father needs you and you need him? So get that on married with children if your house needs to get in order. But then this is important. I talked about raising somebody else's child. Because here's the reality. What if I have a child I didn't make? How do I raise a child that doesn't necessarily have my last name? I do it in the power of the Holy Ghost. So what if one of us had a child and we're a blended family? We can still be happy, but you got to get this tape. Amen. Today, I want you to turn your Bibles real quickly, and I'll let you sit down to 3 John. 3 John. Again, ushers, I ask you to assist me. Any crying children need to go to the nursery because this word is too important to miss. This is too important. 3 John. 3 John. Do you have it? 3 John. 3 John. If you have to ask me which chapter, I know you don't read the Bible much. Amen. There's only one chapter. Amen. 3 John, do you have it? 3 John 2. 3 John 2. Here's what it says. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. I want to talk about the family and its finances. Be seated. How money can mess up a marriage. Now, next week, I need you to bring your shouting shoes. Tell your neighbor, bring your shouting shoes next week, please. You know why? Because next week I'm going to preach, devil, get out my house. I'm prophesying deliverance at this altar. Because some of you got a stronghold on your house. Now, I taught you for 8 weeks how to be a family. But the reality is some of y'all got a devil in the house. And sometimes you have to preach the devil out the house because some of you are dealing with generational curses because mama was fast, I'm a little fast. Because my granddaddy was a drunk, my daddy was a drunk, now I'm a drunk. So I need the pastor to preach a deliverance word to get these demons out of my house. Anybody want to break every stronghold that's in your house? Bring your whole family next week because I'm going to preach, devil, get out my house. But today I want to deal with you about your finances. Pastor, why are you dealing with this? There was a time in my ministry when I would not deal with finances because I had seen so much abuse until I went to the other extreme and wouldn't preach about it, period, until I got a word from God. And the word from God was, whatever area you are afraid to address, your members will be in bondage in that area. If there are people who are suffering with sin and you don't preach sin, they won't come out of sin. All your members are coming up with cancer and sickness and you don't preach about healing, they won't get healed. The same thing, if many of your members are broke and you don't preach about financial deliverance, then they will stay in financial bondage. Why are you preaching about this? The Bible says more about money than it does about love, grace, or joy. All of those are important, but the Bible says more about money. What do you do with that? You understand that God saved you, and the word salvation, the very definition, has to do with prosperity. But prosperity is different than the way they're preaching it all over the place. Prosperity is more than money. Prosperity is being whole in your body. Prosperity is being well emotionally and having enough finance to do what you need to do. The Bible says more about money than it does about love. Why is that? Because God knows you need money to live. The family and its finances. Don't front up in here because you're saved. When you don't have the money you need to do what you need to do, that creates major drama in your house. Women, and particularly wives, like security. When a woman doesn't understand how we're going to make it next month, that's all she's thinking about. You trying to kiss, she thinking about the gas bill. She don't want to kiss. She thinking about nothing but the gas bill. So now she's kind of upset, which then messes with your manhood. Because there's a part of you that feels like you don't have enough money to do what you need to do and to take care of your children, to buy what you need. And that can be frustrating for a man. So now there's this tension. It affects the bedroom. It affects everything because when we don't have enough, I didn't say rich, when we don't have enough to meet our needs, that leads to frustration. So it is the church's job to preach to you in every area of bondage. Many of you get along well, the bedroom is well, the communication is well, but the finance is a major issue. Today I want to talk about the family and its finances. What is the first thing I need to do if I'm a family as it relates to preparing myself for my future financially? Number one, you need to plan your prosperity. Turn your Bible to Proverbs 21, and you'll turn a lot today because this is a mature church that wants to look at their Bible. Go to Proverbs quickly. Proverbs. Psalms, Proverbs. Get chapter 21. I'll wait on you because I want to make sure you read this with me. You don't have a Bible, look at your neighbor. They cool. They don't mind. They cool. Everybody cool at the word. They cool. Y'all got it? Proverbs 21, verse 5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty." Now, I brought my ghetto version because I thought many of you wouldn't understand that. So I brought my NLT, the New Living Translation. And here's what the same passage says in the NLT. "Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty." Now let's get right in this. Okay, I'll back that thing up. You looked at me funny. I'm gonna read that again. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Here's what the Bible says that most churches don't want to deal with. They want to say, "Come on, Shonda, God will buy you a Honda." No, he won't. Speak in tongues all you want. Come on, Shonda, you ain't gonna get that Honda. Because God has never been for lazy folk. Reading Proverbs about slothfulness. If there's anything that bothers me in particular, it is a lazy man. No, brother, you have to wake up every day and go make it happen in the power of Jesus. Ain't, there's more ain't folk here than aren't. Ain't nobody gonna give you nothing. And we go to these fairy tale churches that tell us throw some money on the altar and everything is fine. No, that ain't gonna make it fine. No, shout and everything is fine. You can shout and come down broke. Jump up in the air and foam at the mouth broke. Fall at the altar and get up with a wet mouth broke. Somebody say amen. Amen. Look at me, family. In particular, men, but all of you, you gotta work your plan. What is your plan to prosper? See, most couples do not have a plan. Number one, they don't have communication. And so that's why I got to deal with that in volume two of this series, because when I preach volume two, I'm going to take two or three Sundays and just deal with communication, because most of us can't talk. Whenever you talk, I feel like you're fussing, so I can't hear you. When you talk to me, you think I'm your daughter, so I can't hear you. And so we don't talk, and so I do my